8:03, get to RC Country Hobbies today, Folsom Boulevard. Get that Christmas shopping in, not just toys for big boys and girls. It's for everyone in the entire family. Dave, Katie, and Nate taking you till 9 o'clock. Kings in Houston tonight right here on KHTK. Katie out there already
at the Toyota
scouting,
Center,
looking to make it happen for us when we get there for Super Bowl here in just about a month.
That's right.
Can you guys
aren't you
hear
Katie?
Me?
Aren't you Katie's talking? I can't hear her right now. So there you go.
My mic is up.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, at the Toyota Center, which I could have told you during your update, but Matt likes to silence me.
Well,
I don't think any of us are complaining about
God
that.
God bless you,
oh,
Matt. Although I will
wow.
say,
what's up with your face,
Neat.
Katie? What's that all over it?
Hey, Greg
Jesus.
Pop is coming up in a couple minutes. I gotta say, Matt George is one of my favorite people, and I love him. And that always means
now that, you're gonna there's some bad's
here
gonna be
we
said.
Go.
I will just say, Matt, we all kind of have different days. Now that we've worked with Matt for a few months, I learned to recognize some of his days. Like sometimes Matt comes in, like the other day he came in, new haircut, he was all fresh. It was Monday, it was a Christmas card day. He was fresh and ready to go.
Looking dapper.
I don't know if Matt has like another job at night or something going on the schedule. I don't want to be unfair to him, and I don't know if it's lack of sleep, but there's just some days Matt comes in and I can tell. Like I know he rolled out of bed 5 minutes before he got in the car. He's got the hood on. He's got, I mean, there are some times when Matt will straight up have his head on the desk while we're doing
Snuggie on.
And I feel bad. I don't want to get in the way of, you just seem tired some days, Matty.
Today is Root Canal Dave.
Oh!
Root Canal Dave, that sounds like the dumbest superhero ever.
It really does, yeah. What are your special powers, Novocaine? What you're having a root canal today?
Yep, so I was stressing all night about that last night, so.
Well, you're going to be a peach tomorrow, aren't you?
I'm going to be numb and happy.
Wow.
No, you'll be fine tomorrow. Quit crying. I've had root canals. You'll be fine. Suck it up. Play with the torn. To play with, you know, don't even get Novocaine, according to Will.
Oops, did he I do
played.
That?
Oh.
Sorry about that,
man.
Katie. Were you saying something?
Oh, Matt with the mute. Dude, I would.
Okay, you know what? I could just pretend that my equipment is not working here and just leave the show and no one would know.
I would.
It's kind of like what they're doing with injury reports in the NBA, apparently.
Speaking of, from the 916, we got a lot of response. We were talking about players missing games, resting, like LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love are all doing coming up here in Memphis. From the 916, play the game, Sally. Who gives a hoot about back-to-backs? It's part of the job. That's from Mark in Sacramento. A lot of people saying too much complaining. Here's one guy saying, as I said, little Billy in Memphis is not going to be able to go to a game. And somebody said, make that a life lesson for little Billy.
No
that life is not fair. A lot of people saying you can rest only at home games. But again, they're just going to lie about what the rest is. Here's one from the 209. A goal of mine is to sit in Kings Row 1 for once in my life. I know the seats run around $1,000 per seat. If I'm going to spend that money, you can be sure it's going to be against a player like LeBron. So if he missed the game because of rest, I don't know if I would ever come back to a game. Granted, that would be crappy luck, but it can happen. My fight continues to convince my wife to let me buy those seats. Well, first off, I don't want to burst your bubble, but if the seats to sit Kings Row 1 are $1,000, you can bet against a player like LeBron or the Warriors. You will not be buying seats for $1,000 because either the season ticket holders are all going to attend the games or they're going to throw those seats on StubHub and they're going to go for about $4,000. So if you want to sit Kings Row 1, I highly suggest that you scout. There are some great deals.
The Sixers.
I will tell you this much. There were four seats I saw, and don't ask me why I'm sometimes on StubHub just looking at seats, but I do as a hobby. And
oh my goodness.
There were four seats on the floor across from the visitor bench to the Knicks game. I saw them about an hour before the game. The list price for those seats, I think, is $1,200 a seat. They were going for $600. Now, listen, $600 a seat is a hell of a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. But you can find quote-unquote deals, but that's going to be right before a game against a team like the Knicks or the Bucks or something like that. You're not going to see the Cavs or the Warriors for face value.
Well, and I mean, again, like it's not that this stuff isn't disappointing, but you ultimately do get to watch professional basketball. And as we've said a million times, even bad teams have leading scorers. And that includes the Cavs when their three best players aren't playing. And like, I remember one time going to see the Kings play the Bucks. Okay. Not only were the Kings like a team that won in the teens that year, I think their best player was probably Beno Udrich. But, I mean, it's the Milwaukee Bucks. And generally speaking, who cares about the Milwaukee Bucks, right? But you know what happened that night? Michael Redd went for 44 points in three quarters. That was pretty damn sweet.
That's great. Exception, not the rule, though, right?
Well yeah. You but, know? I mean, there's – like, if you just – it's disappointing. But I think if you go into it with an open mind, you're still going to see professional basketball. And you're still going to see some things by the best athletes on the planet that are going to make you go, ooh.
I haven't heard Michael Redd's name in a long time. I remember – this is how old I am now. I remember Michael Redd and Scoony Penn playing the Ohio State backcourt. That was freaking amazing. They had a fantastic backcourt back
Michael
then.
Michael Redd could shoot the ball.
Yes, he could.
Hell, he won. He was on the Olympic team specifically for that skill.
It's so tough, though. It is. Like, everyone has really good points on either side. It's one of those almost unsolvable issues. Back when Michael Jordan played for the Bulls, it was the same thing. He came to Sacramento once a year, and it was the same thing. 99 times out of 100, it was a really crappy Kings team, and you were going to see Michael Jordan. That's part of the pull of an NBA team. It's what's great about it is you get a chance to see Michael Jordan or Larry Bird or LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Come into your town. So when it's the one time a year and you miss it, you are getting screwed. These fans in Memphis are getting screwed, but what can you do about it?
Well, you don't hear this come up with baseball as often, and they rest guys all the time. I mean, I remember I used to get to go.
Because it's a three-game, four-game series,
well,
that's why.
I mean, it's the same, but I think people are just used to it. I mean, I would get to go to maybe two Giants games a year when Barry Bonds was playing for that team. And it was always on a weekend, it was always on a Saturday, and Barry Bonds always sat because it was the day game after a night game.
Sure.
For years and years and years.
You're saying. If that's the one game you have tickets to,
it was disappointing. But whatever, dude. I got to see the Giants. I got to go to Candlestick Park. And in those games, I got to see Jeff Kent hit a walk-off home run. It can be disappointing, but it doesn't have to crap on your whole experience.
339-1140.
Especially if you've already spent the money.
40, right. 1-800-920-1140.
To heckle, what's his name, Paul Konerko, because he was standing out in left field for the Reds.
Easy to heckle Paul Konerko, though. Let's see. Kings row one for Damian Lillard and the Blazers is $799. I agree. If I bought those and he and CJ McCollum sat out, I'd never go see another game.
Never?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. It really.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. I mean, it really is. I understand both sides. Like, I understand, but like absolutes like that, I don't understand. Like, I would never go see another game.
Well, that's just such a tentative relationship that you have with something that you apparently love, right? I mean, if you're going to spend that much money on a ticket and you want to be there that badly at these low seats, whatever. And again, it's not that it's not disappointing, but I don't know, man. If you love it that much, like, why are you going to let your relationship be on such shaky ground?
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We are efforting Greg Papa. As soon as we get him, we'll have him on. Bill, you're on the drive.
Hi, guys. Hi. I just wanted to when you look at baseball suits guys all the time. You know, the stars, the secondary players. When they need a rest, it's not a big deal. For some reason in basketball, it's a big deal. I think the biggest issue is that they sit them all at the same time. It's like the team isn't trying to win that game.
Yeah.
That's the issue. The issue isn't LeBron sitting. I mean, from a sports point of view, from a fan point of view, you bring your kid and all that stuff. But from a sports point of view, it's like you're tanking the game. When you're tanking the game.
So I kind of disagree with you to a certain extent there, only because we're talking about, like, if the Kings were doing it and they're sitting their three best players, I'd be like, okay, they're tanking. But we're talking about the defending champs. This is actually just a blow at Memphis saying we're so good and we think we're so much better than you and that you're so bad that we can sit our best three players and still beat you.
Well, and the other thing that keeps getting brought up too, And it's unfortunate because in sports leagues, you have two representatives. You have the owner's representation and you have the player's representation. The one side you don't have are fan representations. I've always thought it would be phenomenal if you could somehow organize a fan union that had real pull and real power, where fans could literally boycott games, take money in an organized fashion out of that. If you had a fan union.
That would never happen.
Oh, I agree with you.
I mean, just not having a fan union, but it's like being the guy that's like, hey, man, if we like, that'll really send him a message if we all bomb the SAT and then you chicken out at the last minute and you get the best score.
Because they'd go.
Yeah.
No, if you had a union where the bulk of the union actually participated, I think fans would be very surprised at the amount of power that they would wield. If they all said, hey, listen, you're not going to do this, well, then we're going to stop going to games and we're also boycotting all your advertisers. That's more power than the players or the owners have. And you're right. Mm-hmm. It will never happen. It's a pipe dream. But there is no representation because the way to fix this.
We're suckers.
Right. We are. We're sheep. We're all sheep. The one way, the one idea I've heard that could go the furthest, at least, into making it less of a blow for fans is you just get rid of dynamic pricing. And that will never, ever happen. But that's the way you do it. That's where it really gets screwy, is when these guys are paying 3-4 times face value normally to go see the Cavaliers, and then they're not seeing those players, and they're still stuck not only with those seats, but they're not selling them either.
Such a great ruse, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dynamic pricing. I mean, sometimes you won't have to pay full price for tickets. It's like an adjustable rate mortgage.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140.
It could get lower.
You're on the drive, caller. Go ahead. Or you're not. I'll put you back on hold. I'm taking unscreen calls while I'm back. Hey, Mitch.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah. How you guys doing? Happy holiday. I'm sorry. I still got cut, so I was waiting for Chris to pick up the phone.
That's okay. Right.
Well, happy holiday, everybody.
You too.
First, they got to keep the Raiders in. Even the Chargers. But for the Chargers to move up to L.A., that's not so bad. They share a new stadium. I know it's a lot of traffic. I know it's only 40 miles, 90 miles. And playing back-to-back games, I see three nights in a row as being tough. Most people work 5-6 days, Monday through Friday, and we work at least 8. So let's not gripe. So, and again, well paid.
Okay, but let's also factor in. I love how people, like, things are just absolute for people right now. Let's factor in the fact that most back-to-backs are not home-home or road. You know, like, you're not in the same spot. You're traveling from one city and state to another. You might be getting in at 3:00 in the morning. Like, people, like, I get it. You're upset. I'm not saying you don't have the right to be. But quit saying that these players aren't tired, that the amount of money that they make does not mean that they're not absolutely busting their asses to perform on the court. I'm tired of that excuse.
Okay, but Katie, at the same time, jeez. I completely understand when you have dad of two, whatever, who makes $40,000 a year and he's paying these prices. And you're dealing, and I understand when they're dealing with players that are getting paid not just millions of dollars, they're flying on private jets, they're staying in 5-star hotels, they're playing a 48-minute game of which they play 35 to 40 minutes, and of course there's shoot around before and shoot around after, but I think it's very difficult for Bobby Pipe Fitter to go to work each and every day, and he doesn't do back-to-backs, he does back-to-backs, and then get Saturday and Sunday off, and for him to pay a decent percentage of his salary to take his kid to a game, and he's got to listen to how bad Kyrie Irving has it.
I get that.
That's where they're coming from.
Yeah, but hold on a second. If these players were making the same amount of money as these other people, like the Joe Blow that you're talking about that's making $40,000 a year, the only factor that you have here is the amount of money they're making. It doesn't make the workload any different. Yes, but listen.
You're talking about roofing versus playing in the NBA.
I will bet you that if LeBron was making $15 to $20 an hour, he would be out there every night.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, my God.
Give LeBron James $3,600.
Because he wouldn't be able to, and he was scared of losing his job.
They're not the ones deciding to not be out there. Why are people having this problem?
Because if LeBron James said to Tyronn Lue, I'm not resting, guess who would be playing in Memphis? LeBron James. And when you've got Billy McRoofer going out and, like Nate said, making $20 to $30 an hour, getting his ass burnt by the sun every day, it's hard for him to understand why super giant millionaire who gets 5 months off a year is bitching about having to fly first class and stay in a five-star hotel.
They're not bitching. Quit doing this. I see what you guys are saying, but you're making your point in an obnoxious way, Dave. That's not the case.
How is that obnoxious?
I get it.
Being obnoxious.
No, but you're saying like, oh, the players are the ones that are bitching about flying first class and staying in five-star.
I'm saying the players could control whether or not they play. All right, we got Greg Papa on. We'll continue this. 339-1140. Katie's frustrated. Greg Papa coming off, well, not him, but the team, coming off the loss Thursday at Arrowhead, joins us right now ahead of their game this weekend. First question for you, Greg, because we've been into this for a while, and I know this is a Raiders segment. LeBron James, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving are all sitting out their one game in Memphis, and it's unfortunate for Memphis fans. This is what we've been talking about, Greg. Is there a solution at all?
I remember this even before Greg Popovich did it in Miami. I remember Pat Riley with the Showtime Lakers after they mathematically locked up everything in the mid-'80s. They had nothing to play for. They were the number one seed at the very end of the year. He didn't play Magic, Worthy, and Kareem. And the commissioner fined him pretty heavily. And at the time, I was like, how could you fine him for that? I mean, and Jerry Buss will thankfully and easily write you a check willingly because he doesn't want to get his players hurt. So you have to be able to coach the team. So I understand it's well within their right to do that. What I would like to see them do is stagger it a little bit. But I think part of their feeling is they go for certain games. You don't go for others. It's just the vagaries of the schedule. The Warriors really haven't done that. They did it one time in Denver. They rested four guys simultaneously. And Denver's a different deal because of the altitude. But they have this sport VU that they have. They have analytics on not just what they're doing in the games, but what they're doing in practice as well. And if they're running as fast, if they're coming off curls and floppies and double stacks with the same speed, if they're losing a little, is their body more susceptible to injury? I think is really what they're looking at. They may be susceptible to a hamstring pull, soft tissue kind of injury. So that's what they're trying to get ahead of with the data. I think the solution is coming in the collective bargaining agreement. And I know there's a deadline coming up today, I think it is, but they'll just extend it. And I think you're going to see the elimination of four games in five nights. It's just never going to happen again. The Warriors have one. I don't know how many Sacramento has. The Warriors just had one this week, and they're not going to have one the rest of the year, and they may never have one again. And that was just standard in the NBA. When you went away, the trip was you played Tuesday, Wednesday, you're off Thursday, you play Friday, Saturday, you come home. That's a standard trip in the NBA. So they're going to eliminate that. So you'd have to stretch out the schedule a little bit. I would think the Memphis fans would be happy because now they got a good chance to win the game. I know they want to see LeBron play, but you know you see him on TV enough, so you can deal with it. Outside of requiring the coaches to stagger when they rest guys, but I don't know how you would – what kind of language would you put that in? If I don't want to play a guy, I'm not going to play a guy. Or if you're going to make me play him, I'll start him. We'll do the jump. I'll call timeout and get him out in 5 seconds. So there's many ways to do it. I don't think you can legislate how to coach your team, but I do understand the business side of it, and I think it's just a product of all the knowledge that they have and how they're taxing their players, and they don't want to run their risk to players getting hurt. And it also speaks to what it really speaks to the big picture. It's become like college basketball, where I don't watch college basketball really till March Madness. Because the regular season means nothing. You're going to make it, and then it's just how you do in the tournament. And in the NBA, you know, the Cavaliers, unless something goes really wrong, are going to be the number one seed. So what are they playing for? So there really is no reason to tax your athletes now when the real season is April, May, and June.
Greg Papa joining us on The Drive, the voice of the Raiders. Now, speaking of schedules and complaining about schedules, Richard Sherman was complaining about Thursday night games. Obviously, the Raiders just coming off one where they lost to the Chiefs. How much of that quick turnaround and playing on the road after a short week do you think factored into what we saw with the Raiders in Kansas City this week?
That's a great question, and I don't think there's any way to really know. I was just thinking about that this morning when I heard Richard Sherman bagging out of the Thursday night game, and just the quality of the play, I think, is less across the board. The home team seemed to win a high percentage
I don't know. I don't think the Raiders played great. You know, they got to settle down in the second half of the game. They had a really poor second quarter. Derek was really off. I think a lot of it was the finger and the cold weather. I don't know why he didn't wear a glove on that hand after the first half. I know he's reluctant to do it, but he threw the ball well against Carolina with the glove on. He just didn't like the glove, and he just was off. But I don't know. I just hope when we look back on this whole year, which has been a fabulous year, and if the Raiders win the game Sunday in San Diego, they're going to make the playoffs. And it's going to be the irony is it's the last time they played a playoff game was in that stadium when it all crashed and burned in Super Bowl 37. So there'd be great symbolism to go back into Mission Valley and win that game and qualify for the playoffs in that stadium. But when you look back on the year, if it's because the league, you know, stuck it to you and made you go to Kansas City on a Thursday night, and also Kansas City, when they came to Oakland in mid-October, were off their bye week. You know, they had 2 weeks for Andy Reid to get ready for that game, and he clearly out-schemed them that game. And then it's hard. They try to make these Thursday nights, and they do predominantly make them division games. So you figure, you know, you're in your AFC West. But that's a hard travel. You got to go two time zones. Mm-hmm. How many miles is it to Kansas City? Out of 1,500 miles, whatever, it's about a three-hour-plus flight. You have to go, you leave Wednesday. We left Wednesday at 2 o'clock and you get there and it's Wednesday night and it's time to play. And it was such an important game. This game is just monumentally big. It goes from being the one seed to being the five seed. And in the NFL, you know, now you're looking at maybe going to Houston or Pittsburgh. And if you win, you get the great privilege to go to Foxborough and deal with them where, you know, if you're the one seed, You're in Oakland. You never have to leave, and they all have to come to you, and you don't have to play a wild card weekend. So I can't answer the question. You'd have to ask the players. They were off. It wasn't attributable to the short week. I don't know. It's hard to say. I think it's more attributable to Kelechi Osemele having kidney stones right before the game. I mean, think about the timing of that. All the times in your life you're going to have kidney stones. You have to get it on the morning of a huge football game when you're trying to win a division for the first time since 2002. So let's just see how the last three go, but I hope you don't look back on your question and see if it kind of sabotaged the whole season.
Greg Pop is with us on KHDK. Yeah, I mean, you wait another couple days. Who knows if Osemele's in the lineup? And aside, Greg, from the disappointment of not meeting expectations and losing to Kansas City, would you consider it alarming that they've now faced this team twice and Kansas City really has kind of thoroughly had their number both times?
Absolutely. I thought Kansas City was fully capable last year of doing what Denver did. I wasn't sure which defense could rise up, but I actually like Kansas City's defense better. I think Justin Houston's a better player than Von Miller. Von Miller's a better pass rusher, but it's close, and Justin Houston is a tremendous run player and a great player. And now you got Dee Ford and Tom Bailey and their corners. They're just difficult to deal with. And the Raiders, you know, everybody wants to get on the finger and the cold weather. The bottom line is Kansas City's defense has shut down the Raider passing game. And it wasn't just Thursday night. It's happened just about every time. They just cannot uncover against them. They also have a hard time against Denver. And I think it's on Amari Cooper to me is a fabulous player. I honestly think he's the most skilled player on the team. Khalil's his own separate set of skills and Kelechi. But Amari is just his skill level. You watch him warm up before a game. He's so clearly better than every other receiver you see. It's just his footwork, his timing, his hands. He's just a great player. But he does not play well against Kansas City. They take him out. He does not play well against Denver. You got to solve that problem. When they beat Denver on that Sunday night, they ran it right down their throats. The Raiders did not pass the ball. The strength of this team is the passing game. And they're just not able to get it done. So, yes, I've been looking at this for years. You know, we beat them in the rain when Derek was 0-10 that year. But really, Bob Sutton's defense is a problem. And I don't know if they're going to be able to slow down New England. We don't much care if they, you know, if the Raiders don't get there. But this is an elite defense. And they have every bit the ability to play the kind of defense that Denver played when they ran the table and won the Super Bowl. The injury to Derek Johnson is going to hurt them in the middle of their defense. They're great instinctive linebacker, good in the run and really good in the pass. So that'll hurt them. But yes, the biggest issues I see for the Raiders proceeding forward is they have to solve Kansas City's defense and Denver's defense, and specifically their pass rushes and their secondary behind their pass coverage.
Greg Papa brought to us each and every week by our friends at Jiffy Lube, jiffyloopca.com for valuable coupons, over 27 locations just right here in the greater Sacramento area. Good luck this weekend. Not that you need it. It's always a fantastic call. We'll have it right here on KHDK. And thank you, as always, for your time, Greg.
Thank you for your time. Hope you have a nice day. Thank you.
All right, thanks, you too. Man. That is Greg Papa. We'll take a break. Ken Rudolph will join us next from Good Day Sacramento with today's news as we get to the final half hour of The Drive. By the way, UFC tickets in our pockets right now for you. We got a pair to go see Uriah Faber's retirement fight this Saturday at the Golden One Center. We'll give those away later on in the program. Don't go away. No flipping. The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
Hello, friends and fellow holiday shoppers. It's Katie Christensen for Total Beauty Experience. Man, the clock is ticking and I'm on the road, but I still have a huge to-do list of things I need to get my friends and family. And it just keeps growing and growing. So I'm going to save myself the time. When I come back into town, I'm going to head down to Total Beauty Experience and get all my shopping done in one spot. Let's talk about beauty supplies. I need to pick up a few for myself, but I also know that my sister would like a little something like styling tools, maybe, or even makeup. They've got the best selection of styling tools. And right now you can get them in every price range and some of them as much as 50% off. And then of course you've got all kinds of things like fragrances and candles. And the list is just amazing. The selection that they have there, the biggest in town, men's shaving supplies, stocking stuffers, purses. You can even get hats and scarves and holiday stuff. Oh my God, platters. The list is just, it's immense. So just go down there, 2929 Arden Way. They're open 7 days a week for your convenience, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sundays. Go down there today and check it out.
That's Katie Christensen banging her microphone around. She is in Houston.
Hey!
I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm just saying.
Sorry.
That was our rejoiner.
It was my fault.
It was you juggling. It's Dave and Nathan, Katie in Houston. You know, we were just talking about how we'll be in Houston for Super Bowl week, bringing you all the Super Bowl coverage. And what's great, last 2 years we did Phoenix and we did San Francisco last year. This one's going to be good for us and really by proxy for you, the listener, because our show will not start until 8 a.m. Houston time, whereas before, two of our hours, 6 to 8 a.m. Pacific, you know, you're getting the scrubs for the most part of the radio row.
Well, no, I mean, it's true. You're getting the guys there. Because, almost everyone's there to hawk something.
Right. And I think we did one, and no offense to this guy, it actually ended up being a really good interview, but it was a guy who was, like, tailgating at every single football stadium and interview him about what kind of food you find everywhere. Yeah. And it ended up being a good interview, but it's not Marcus Allen. it's not Jerry Rice. So, who we did have last year, as a matter of fact. So, looking forward to bringing you that coverage as we start. That always kicks off our year of Jiffy Lube trips, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. They take care of our road trips just like they take care of yours. And by the way, 8:53, time to go to RC Country Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard. Not just toys for big boys, for everyone in the entire family. Guys, we don't have a lot of time. And 7:30, we got a little carried away, which is fine. It was a good topic with the whole resting players thing like LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love are doing in Memphis. I had a lot of notes on the Kings because I just started tweaking out last night before I fell asleep and wrote a lot of these down. I just wanted to run by you, and if something tips your cap there, feel free to chime in here. 9 of 15 Kings losses this year have come by 8 or less, and one of their losses is a 12-point loss to the Heat in overtime. So, really, 10 of their 15 losses, let's just say, they have been absolutely in the ball game in the fourth quarter. And
Did you go back and look at those 9 games and make sure that, I mean, it wasn't one of those things where they...
One of them, and I forget which one, but to your point, one of them was they came back. It was like a 20-something point lead going into the fourth. I forget the game. And then they came back because the starters were rested for the other team. I forget which game that was. But point being... In the majority of their losses, they have been within a few possessions in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Does that say they just can't finish games and other teams turn it on? Or does that say that they're nearing a corner? Because they're one game in the loss column out of the 8 spot right now, one game under 500 in games played against the Western Conference. So do you look at that as a mirage early in the year when you're getting teams that aren't together yet? Or are they can you look at them and say, you know, they might sneak in?
I think that's kind of a smoke and mirrors number.
Sure.
And not that they can't necessarily grab an eighth seed, but, you know, seeing things like that, that's kind of what bad teams do, because it's those final couple of minutes.
Find a way
to
lose.
Right. The talent disparity really starts to show itself off when you get into the final 3 minutes and you've got to trade buckets with a guy like Steph Curry or Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook or James Harden, and the Kings just aren't able to do that.
I think it's been less about that and more about just bad starts. They've shown a really good, I don't know. They have a lot of potential, obviously. They show a lot of potential, but they've done a really good job of battling back after getting themselves down 20 points and sometimes even more and making it a game. So the close games are less about, you know, kind of like, oh, they just figure out a way to lose, and more about they can't figure out a way to start and put themselves in a position where they're not fighting themselves out of a hole the whole game. And I think that's where those close fourth quarter losses are coming from. But you guys, I'm telling you, I don't know what this team is going to look like after the trade deadline, so I can't look ahead to the playoffs. If they can keep themselves in a similar situation to where they are now position wise you never know what could happen in the playoffs.
Well, last thought there on that. For all of February through the 5th of March, the Kings are at home, period, end of statement, with the exception of two road games, and those games are in Oakland and LA against the Lakers. So for all the road stuff they're doing, they're home for a little over a month. The trade deadline is February 23rd. You wonder if that's really in the back of their heads where they're saying, okay, by the middle of February, we're going to know with all those home games what we've got in store. And maybe they're waiting on that to make some moves. It's something we can discuss tomorrow. Also want to look at Dave Yeager and the front office performance through the first quarter of the season and how you'd even try to grade either of them. A lot of stuff coming up tomorrow. We'll see a lot of you at the Rogue One premiere tonight. That's 8 o'clock, Arden Fairmall. For Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen, and Matt George, hey, I'm Carmichael Dave. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Lowdown, noon to 3. Jim Rome is next. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.